Good afternoon. Welcome to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
And we're here to entertain, inform, and inspire you.
That's our motto, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, I think that's a lot of radio shows' motto.
But we're special.
What you're saying is we're not clever.
No, we're not that clever, because I thought that up, and then you look online at other radio shows, and it's like there must be a million of them with that exact same tagline. But we got to come up with a better, more.
We've got to think of a good adjective.
Yeah. Not right now, though. We will, though. We'll think of something very cool to describe.
Desalling.
I don't even know how to go there with that.
And we're
desalling,
moving on.
Yeah. Speaking of desalling, cable is... Cable.
Cable desalling.
Hey, you got me completely... You got me completely... Well,
he's verklempt.
Okay. Caleb Desalling is with us, regional rep for Lord Abbott, and we just found out it's not Lord and Lady Abbott's company.
That's correct.
Yep. It was Mr. Lord and Mr. Abbott that came together. And Caleb, we will spend a little bit of time figuring out what Lord Abbott does and what you do with Lord Abbott, because it's a really fine old company.
Sure.
After that, Jimi Hendrix is with us. Yes, I know. Not that Jimi Hendrix, the other Jimi Hendrix, the CEO of Lightpost Digital. He's got solutions for your marketing online to local businesses. Some amazing, really cool things. You'll want to stay tuned for that part of the show coming up at the bottom of the hour. Caleb is here, Desalling. Caleb Desalling. I like that name. Now that I got it down, I can't stop saying it.
It's pretty easy. Make it sound easy.
It is, yes. So, Caleb, tell us what you do at Lord Abbott.
Sure. So I am a regional representative, or oftentimes called a wholesaler, working with financial advisors across the West Coast, but most notably in California, where I spend a large majority of my time.
But you don't live out here.
I don't.
You live
correct.
In the city, right?
I live in New York City.
New York City.
Yeah, in the Midtown area. So it's,
do you go to Broadway plays very often?
I don't.
Oh, my God. I want to go see that Come From Away. Have you seen that play?
I have not.
It's about Gander, Newfoundland?
Yeah, no, I have not.
You don't know anything about it, do you?
Nope.
No, okay.
Wholesaling's a young man's game, isn't it? You're
wait a minute. I was talking about Broadway.
And he was saying he doesn't spend a lot of time in New York. I'm trying to explain why.
Oh, is that why? Okay.
My time spent is on the subway to and from the office and in my... shoebox of an apartment. So that's where I spend a lot of my
time.
So
you actually have one of those like shoebox apartments in the city in New York City.
Yeah.
The classic like cliche.
That's it. If I put my arm on one wall and I reach out to the other side, add 2 feet, I'm in the back of my closet.
Can you hear your neighbors?
Yeah, I can hear. I've got roommates. I can hear them talk, and we sometimes talk through the wall, so it's a good time. But I'm paying a mortgage and an arm and a leg to live there.
So the shows, the movies you see about New York and those little tiny apartments, that's
it. I'm living
real.
It.
You're living
I'm
it.
Living
the,
it. I'm here.
You're living the dream. Now, you're a young guy. I mean, yes. you can't be that far out of school, right? I mean... How long have you been out of school?
So I've been with Lord Abbott for 4 years now, and I came from school.
So you went right from school to Lord Abbott.
To Lord Abbott, yep.
Wow. I want to go back to that moment in just a second, but before we do that, you're young, but Lord Abbott has been around since, what,
1929.
29.
Mm-hmm.
So what attracts a young college grad to a stodgy old 1929 company?
Well, that's
it certainly can't be like, it doesn't sound all that like sexy and cool. And yeah, the company I work for started in 1929.
Yeah, we're an extremely relevant company today, which is one of the big draws. I know though we've been around since 1929, I think we're building more and more momentum today than we were in the early part of the founding of the firm. So we're excited on all the momentum we've been gathering, but it's really the culture, the investments, and I think the people that really brought me on board, and they've kept me there. They've done a good job keeping me happy. So.
And Lord Abbott is an investment company. I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I want to go back to the recruiting effort. Did they recruit you on campus, or did you follow up with them separately?
Not on campus directly. It was more so recruited through an employee at the time, who had reached out to me and said, what do you think about the opportunity? So I got a chance to learn more about the opportunity, go visit the headquarters, which is in Jersey City, New Jersey, so just across the pond from Wall Street. And then I spent about a day in the office interviewing with several people, got to meet other colleagues of mine in the same role, and It's been history ever since.
Was there one single moment in time where it hit you that Lord Abbott's where you want to go? Because that's a big deal right out of college, right? I mean, that's your first big-time job. It's got to have, that had to have some impact on you and some relevance to your world. So was there a moment in time, or did it happen gradually, kind of, I want to say, not biologically, what's the word?
Is there a progression to it?
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of both. I think after the initial round of interviews, I was drenched under my suit and sweat, and I walked out of the building, and we stare at, so we're across the Hudson River looking at One World Trade.
Oh, wow.
So you walk out.
That's got to be momentous in itself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you catch the breeze. You look at the new the One World Trade off to the left or to the right. You see the Statue of Liberty, and I said, wow, this is where I want to spend you know, my career and start the foundation to what hopefully will be a fruitful career at Lord Abbott, and it has been. So
So Lord Abbott is a company that's been around since 1929. You know a little bit about the history, I'm guessing, of the company. Did it start out as a financial services company, as a mutual fund type company?
Yeah, so Andrew Lord and Leon Abbott set up shop just after the Depression there.
And so it wasn't Lord and Lady Abbott?
It was not. It was never Lord and Lady Abbott, no.
But that would have made a cool story, right?
Yeah, it would have been, but unfortunately it wasn't.
So it's two separate people, Mr. Lord and Mr. Abbott.
Yep.
It was probably a short conversation whose name would come first, though. Lord Abbott just sounds so much better than that.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, if you spell it back. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they set up shop in 1929, and the affiliated fund, which a lot of people sort of knew us for in the early years, sort of led the growth of the organization. And since then, we've built out a robust lineup of other credit portfolios, other equity income portfolios, and on the taxable side and tax-free side. So, we've built out the lineup, and now we've seen, at that time, obviously, we've grown to $151 billion in assets across all of those capabilities.
That's $151 billion with
billion.
A B.
Yes, 151 billion.
Where does that put you in the world of investment management companies? Are you one of the biggest?
Yes, yeah, so we're a top 20 asset manager. I think we rank, and don't quote me on this, I think we rank 18 or 19.
Well, you just told the whole world. Do you mean don't quote me?
18 or 19, but we're a top 20 player. So.
Yeah, in the top 20.
Yeah.
The job that you do, you live in the city, in Manhattan, but you cover California.
Yep.
That's your territory.
Yep.
So when you wake up in the morning, it's a jet ride to get to work.
Well, it's not every day. When I wake up in California, I wake up in California. But
okay. So you're here. I'm guessing most of your work days are in California.
Yeah. So the way it's structured is I spend 1 to 2 weeks a month out somewhere in the West Coast, mostly in California. And then I do go back to New York and spend some time at the home office sort of recouping and speaking with clients over the phone. So it's a little bit of both. But I do sort of jet coast to coast.
We'll come back to that. Caleb, say your last name again.
It's Desalling.
Desalling. I love that. I just got to get it. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing and Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Want a podcast of the show? Of course you do. Go to www.ESPN1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Welcome back to ESPN 1700. We are broadcasting from the ESET studios. But you already know that because ESET's just such a cool company. Do we get extra for doing that?
I don't think so. Oh. I think that's an obligation.
Oh, it is. It's what we do because we're here.
Yep.
Yeah, the ESET studios. That's how come we have studios, because ESET does this. Okay, where do I go from there? Okay, let's get back to our guest. Caleb Desalling is with us, regional rep for Lord Abbott. Up next, we're going to talk with Jimi Hendrix, a different Jimi Hendrix of Lightpost Digital. You're going to want to hear this if you've ever had any interest in learning how to market to local businesses. He's the guy you want to hear tell all about how you can do that with some really cool tools they have.
And I am hoping he'd sing a little bit of Hey Joe, or maybe Voodoo Child. We'll see.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
These are songs by Jimmy.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Yeah, all right. Okay, well, I was raised listening to gospel music, and if it wasn't about Jesus, we couldn't hear it, so I didn't get to hear Jimi Hendrix.
No, but to the acid rockers of the 60s and 70s, I think that was gospel too.
Yeah. So. That probably was.
Good point.
Caleb, thanks for being here today.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Lord Abbett's one of the oldest companies around in the financial services, and you represent them in California, but you live in New York, so that's got to be an interesting world for you.
Yep.
To travel back and forth. You spend most of your time not with the end user, so to speak, of Lord Abbett's funds, but with the advisors that recommend Lord Abbett to their customers, correct?
That's correct, yep.
So how many advisors do you work with in your network on a annual basis? How many different advisors might you be in touch with on a one-to-one basis where you learn something about what's happening with them?
Sure. So I cover an overwhelming 14,000 financial advisors, but I work closely with probably close to 2,000 of those, you know, some more so than not, but about 2,000 of those do active business with Lord Abbett.
So my guess is when you're boots on the ground, when you're mm-hmm. the guy out there pounding the pavement and you're talking with all these advisors, my guess is you see some kinds of trends from time to time. You know, like everybody's talking about XYZ at this point in time, or everybody's worried about this or worried about that. Do you see any trends right now that are like in your face that just makes so much sense that everybody's talking about it? Like maybe the market's really high right now, sure. And are people concerned about big corrections or downturns in the market? What is your feel for all the 2,000 people you speak with?
Yeah, I mean, there are a ton of concerns that are communicated through the financial advisor of the end client. I think one that's sort of more overwhelming than not, or that I see in my conversations, tend to be around the overwhelming majority of baby boomers retiring every single year. And I think the statistic of 75 million baby boomers retiring every single year and their need for stable, reliable income continues to increase, and that income stream needs to grow from their nest egg over time. And so concurrently, you see we're at historic lows for interest rates. And so at a time where there's not yield to be found and people need it more than ever, that's sort of the big concerns that I get with a lot of my conversations with financial advisors.
Now, does Lord Abbett have an emphasis on the funds? I know some fund managers, some families are kind of known for their, let's say, value funds. Some are kind of known for their income funds. What if anything, does Lord Abbett have as a reputation in the industry? Where's its focus?
Yeah, so we've got investment capabilities that sort of span the capital markets. You see us play in the equity markets, both domestic and globally. We have fixed income portfolios, both high quality and leveraged credit. And then we've got municipal capabilities across the credit spectrum. Where folks, I think, you know, sort of categorize us as income generation specialists, or where can I find income, be it on the equity side or in taxable fixed income for my clients. And that's sort of where we've done a lot of the business over the course of the last several years.
I want to get back to that. Caleb DeSalling is with us, rep for Lord Abbett, covers the California area, but lives back east in the city, New York. Do you ever get a chance to actually meet the money managers, the people that are making the decisions on the billions of dollars Lord Abbett manages?
Yes, all the time. I think that's one of the unique things about Lord Abbett. We've got close to 800 employees that are housed predominantly in 90 Hudson Street in Jersey City, and of those, all of the partners and the investment managers are there. So it's not rare to be in the cafeteria grabbing a bite to eat, and you're bumping shoulders with, you know, Rob Lee or Steve Rocco, who runs the portfolios.
They're running a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. And they're normal people.
Seriously, what I was going to ask you. So do they walk with their feet on the ground, or are they stepping high? Can you relate to them when you talk to them?
Yeah.
Do they sound like us?
They do. Like us. They look like us. They eat food. they put their pants on one leg at a time. Like
what distinguishes somebody that can manage $1 billion in a fund from somebody who can't? If they're normal people like us, mm-hmm. wow, they've got to have something.
Well, they've got a big team. I think that's one of the things that distinguishes Lord Abbett is we've got a team approach to pretty much all of the portfolios. So rather than have this star manager mentality where one person's calling the shots, they're backed by a research team.
And you're going to lose that person to a $100 million bonus to go next door anyway, right, if they end up being a star?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big risk. But it's one of those things where, and you know, we don't wish that upon the manager. But if they were to leave, the portfolio should be able to be run in a relatively smooth manner. So the team approach really allows them to get The investment experience we want for the clients and the way we think about the portfolios too, I think is unique from a risk management standpoint.
Let's talk about income. You said that that is one of the areas of focus for Lord Abbott. As far as income is concerned, right now, it's a difficult road for people that are trying to accumulate using income, or mm-hmm. maybe now they're in their 50s and 60s and their portfolios are more balanced with income and growth.
Yep.
And they're just not getting, I mean, just on cash, you're talking fractions of a point, basis points almost on some things. What is Lord Abbott doing in the income area to give a little bit of encouragement to the people out there seeking some additional yield?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of portfolios that we talk about day to day, but I think if you look at some of the statistics around cash on the sidelines, there's nearly $14 trillion of cash on the sidelines. 2.6 trillion of that.
14 trillion?
14 trillion.
Of cash.
Of cash on the sidelines. And 2.6 trillion is in money markets, which are, you know, yielding nothing or close to it. So the solutions at Lord Abbott that we talk a lot about tend to be around how can I generate some income, get clients compelled with an idea, and that's really around the short duration portfolio and the ultra short portfolio. Which I know we had talked about a little bit previously.
So you have two portfolios that kind of are in the realm of a money market. I mean, they're not money market funds. So I'm guessing that their share prices do change a little bit on a daily basis.
Sure.
Unlike money market, which they try to keep stable at a buck, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I just want to make that clear. These are investments, and they aren't insured or FDIC insured by any means. But the goal of the portfolio is principal preservation and income generation. So if we can find a way to protect the nest egg and generate some income off of it with a proven portfolio.
Caleb, we'll talk more about that when we get back. Caleb.
DeSalling.
Thank you. I was coming out of my mouth. DeSalling. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
And you're listening to Biz Talk. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. You're listening to us on ESPN 1700, but did you know you can watch us on Facebook too? Visit our Biz Talk radio page, share your comments, ask your questions, and of course, we always appreciate your likes and shares. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
I'm Bob Ryan. Does it sound like, when we do that, does it sound like we're pandering to people, please like us?
Isn't that what we're doing?
We are.
Oh, is that what we're doing? So we really are doing that, right? Who would have thought you'd be on the radio asking people to like you?
We're giving them options.
Is that
you
what
can watch. You don't have to like it. It'd be nice, but you can watch it. Watch us on
Facebook.
Well,
if they're going to take the time to go to our page, they daggone better well click the like button.
That's true.
Please.
Okay, was that too harsh?
No, that's fair.
Caleb DeSalling is with us, regional rep for Lord Abbott. Caleb, thanks for coming in.
Sure.
We were talking about income and the different funds that you've got. Now, the money market account is kind of the default for people that want to keep cash liquid and don't want any fluctuation. But we're getting, like, what, less than a quarter of a point, I think,
yeah.
On a lot of money market accounts. It's just not even keeping pace with inflation. So Lord Abbott's come up with two alternatives for people to take a look at for the short-term type cash monies. Now, these two different funds that you have that are in the short-term range, they're not money market accounts, and they're not insured, so they are investments.
Sure.
But they're designed to try to keep the principal somewhat stable, correct?
Exactly, yeah. And that's the goal of the portfolio. I think one of the statistics I often hear from financial advisors is cash is one of the safest ways to lose money. If you think about the implications of inflation and fees on your accounts and things like that. So we knew we had to provide an avenue for investors to generate more income in this yield-starved environment. And these two portfolios are really designed to do that.
So what are the, do you know what strategies they're using to increase the yield and still try to keep it stable? Is there a, are they doing like a multi-country type strategy? Are they over different periods of time, different kinds of bonds? What, help me with kind of what the makeup of all that is.
Yeah, so they're both domestic-oriented fixed income strategies. The short-duration portfolio, if we isolate that for just a second, is going to rotate around the different sectors of short-term bonds to find where income can be found. So whether that's commercial mortgage-backed, whether that's, you know, traditional corporates, whether that's ABS, There are different avenues where, you know, investors are getting compensated to own those bonds, and our team is looking for the areas where they can find that.
Now, is this a group of people that gets excited when they find an extra tenth of a point someplace?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is the kind of thing that gets them excited.
They found an extra tenth of a point for the customer, right?
Exactly.
It's
a big deal. Yeah. And this portfolio, we always say it's a plain vanilla, boring portfolio. But in this environment, boring is beautiful. And I think that's why investors have flocked to something like this to generate additional income. But you're right. It's the little things like that that get them excited, where they can find a basis point here, a couple basis points there. And
who would have thought some people live their lives going after a hundredth of a point for their customers,
these
right?
These are normal people.
They call them quants, don't they?
Yeah.
The people who sit behind
the
desk.
They call them what?
Quants.
Quants.
Right?
They quantify everything.
Yeah, yeah. They do. Yeah. Then they're the geniuses behind the funds. Now, does this change the risk profile? Are you guys on the same line with other people who have short duration and ultra shorts, and you just think you've found a way to have that same low risk but get a slightly higher return? Or are you guys taking on a little more risk to do just that?
Yeah, so it depends on the portfolio you're looking at. I think a lot of managers can classify, you know, what a short-term fixed income instrument might look like. If you see a risk to reward profile, and if you look at some of the MPT statistics, they call it, which measures the additional return you're getting per unit of risk, I think you'd see Lord Abbett has actually got favorable statistics in that range. So, you know, it is, like I said, it is an investment. You are taking some risk, but in our estimation, it's a calculated risk to do so.
When you're working with advisors out there and you're hearing them tell the story back to you,
mm-hmm.
do you get a sense that most of the advisors we have out there kind of get what's going on? Or does it feel like we have a lot of people that are telling the stories they hear over and over again because they like the stories? I mean, do you think advisors really get the economy in our world today?
I think so. I mean, that's their job, and that's why they bring on folks like us who represent the investments, because oftentimes I'll hear from financial advisors like, hey, I don't have the time to necessarily go deep with every single portfolio. It's my job to understand the client, understand their needs, build out a financial plan, have a view on the economy, and then from the individual investments, you know, I'd like to hear from the company and what they think on the capital markets and what they're doing within the portfolio. So,
does the company have a stance today on the markets and where we're heading? Does Lord Abbett publish any targets for the market, or do they? How do they work the information they give the people that they serve?
Yeah, so we give sort of a non-biased view of what we see in the capital markets. I don't think any investor or investment manager is good at predicting the future. And we always say our crystal ball is just as foggy as the next. So we don't have a hard stance on the Dow at this, the S&P at this, interest rates are going to land here at this time. And those views aren't reflected in our portfolios as well. So we always, you know, try to think about our portfolios from a win by not losing approach, as opposed to
win by not losing.
Yeah, as opposed to trying to hit a home run every single time we make an investment in a certain part of the market.
My guess is companies like Lord Abbett don't survive almost 100 years in a market like the United States securities markets without having a strategy that protects the downside.
Exactly. Yep. And that's why you see a lot of investors flock to us as the capital markets get rocky. I think sometimes an investment that's quote unquote sexy or an investment that's new to market that doesn't have the legs that Lord Abbett does can look attractive and can gain assets pretty quickly. But very shortly, advisors and clients realize the investment experience you've had in a Lord Abbett product is one that you don't apologize for. And
well, that's the thing on Wall Street. My favorite stories are the real boring ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ones that have no sizzle. They just are all like totally boring steak, right?
Exactly. If you don't see us in the headlines, it's good news for us, right?
So that is gutting. So is there a place for Lord Abbett funds in everybody's portfolio? I mean, it seems like you have so many different kinds of funds that there's almost a piece somewhere in everybody's portfolio that is part of Lord Abbett, right?
I think so.
Or hopefully,
yeah,
anyway, right?
In my opinion, every investor should have a piece of Lord Abbett, right? Whether it's growth or whether it's income, whether it's you know, tax sensitivity needs, whether you want exposure internationally to emerging markets, we've got portfolios. It's just a matter of how much and how it fits into, you know, the broader financial plan as laid out by the advisor.
Is Lord Abbett experiencing net inflows or net outflows now?
Net inflows.
Which is, I think, it's counterintuitive in the market right now with most of the funds, correct?
Yeah, we're in rare company. I think if you look, we were one of five managers in 2016 to be in positive net flows.
Which means you have more money coming in than going out.
Exactly.
What do you attribute that to?
The capabilities. I think at this point, investors are tired of the investment experience that takes them for a roller coaster ride.
I thought you were going to say the wholesaler in California.
Yeah. A little bit of me.
The good looks of this.
Yeah, I think the more time I spend in New York away from the client, the better it pans out. But yeah, I think it's the investment experience that the clients have faced. It's the right products with the right track record. And the market environment is sort of favorable for us.
Caleb Desaling, thank you so much. Regional rep for Lord Abbott. Don't forget to check them out there at lordabbott.com, right?
Yep.
That's the website,
that
lordabbott.com. Caleb, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you folks go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jimi Hendrix. Yes, we are. Seriously. No kidding. Really. Really.